Ephesians 6, we have come to verse 10. If you're just joining us, as we on Sunday nights, we've been going through the book of Ephesians verse by verse, word by word, because the Bible is what's important for us to remember and know. And we've come to verse 10 together, and this is one of the most probably familiar passages in the book of Ephesians. It's certainly very important for us to take heed to, and it lets us know that in life, the Christian life, we're in a battle. And whether or not you signed up for that or thought that's what it was, but life's always a battle. You're either fighting against the Lord or you're fighting with the Lord. It's hard to kick against the pricks and fight against God, but what a blessing it is to be able to serve the Lord and fight against evil with Him. And that's what this text is about. And so many people try to discharge themselves from that, but you'll not be able to do that. You'll find yourself either in the crossfire or on one side or the other. And that's what this text is about. Ephesians has been a great book that we've been going through. The first half of it, we saw the spiritual, heavenly blessings that God has given us as believers. And since chapter 4, we've been looking at the earthly responsibilities that we have. And one of those responsibilities is to fight the good fight of faith for the Lord. Let's start reading verse 10, Ephesians chapter 6. The Bible says, verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Verse 10, the Bible says, "Finally, my brethren." Everybody's not a part of the brethren. I've noticed even the world uses that, calling people brother. But in the context of this, these are people that are saved. Now, you'll never be able to stand against the devil if you're not saved because you belong to him. And we saw that this morning, how Jesus told a group of people that ye are from beneath. And you're not from above. And you're in your sin. And so the devil is the father of sin. And so you're related to him if you've never come to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith. And the good thing about it is, anytime you want to, you can change families. That's a blessing. You'll come to the Lord. He'll let you change families. You can get out of the family of the devil, now the family of sin, get in the right family, and have a new name, just like those new brides, when they say, "I do," to their groom, they get the name of their the one they marry, and even so we join ourselves to the Lord, we change families. Here he's talking to saved people. And we really can't expect the world to have victory in their life if they don't have Jesus Christ. There's no way to have victory over sin or victory over the devil in your life if you don't belong to the Lord, because only in Him is found victory, as we sung tonight. Victory's in Jesus. It's not in my ability. It's not in a 12-step program or two-step program or anything else that the world offers. You've got to be in the family of God to experience the victory of God. But he says in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Now, we want the brethren to be strong, but we don't want the wicked to be strong. Now, so too many times, it's just the opposite today. It's the evil one or the wicked one or the one that's given themselves to sin with both hands that is emboldened and is strong to do what is wrong instead of God's people being strong to do what is right. How many times have you seen good people, saved people, people that love God, love the Bible, become discouraged or weakened or depressed? And yet, really, the people that should be discouraged and weakened and depressed are the people that aren't doing right. The ones that God wants to be strong are those that are in the Lord, because there's a lot that depends upon God's people being strong. Now, some things I'm going to say tonight are going to go real contrary to popular opinion. But when we look at this text, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, the first assumption that He's trying to get across to us is that you don't have any power and might. Even if you belong to Jesus, you don't have any strength. And that's why He's saying the strength that you need in life, the power you need in life, is not your power and not your strength and not your ability. The power that you need in your life is the power of the Lord. And you know what I know about the power of the Lord? What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 28? He said, "All power in heaven and earth is given unto me." He's got all the power. That means He's got all the power for you and I that we need to live the Christian life. He has all the power for us to overcome whatever we need to overcome in our lives. As a matter of fact, He said even in John chapter 17, not only all power was given unto Him, but in John chapter 17, He said in verse 2 about the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, "And Thou hast given Him power over all flesh." Jesus has all the power that's needed to do the job. He has the power that we need and the might that we need to overcome sin. You know, the Bible said in Philippians, the very next book, chapter 4, verse 13, He said, "I can do all things through" what? "Through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Now, wait a minute. There's a lot of people that don't find that victory. Now, why is that? There's a lot of people that are saved that never find the strength they need for life. Why is that? Well, you're going to find in this text in Ephesians, it comes down to a choice. There's some things that you have to do to have the power of God in your life. There's things you have to appropriate to be strong in Him. It's not just going to come automatically. You've got to put some things on in your life. But God is... You ever heard somebody say, "You know, I just can't do it"? That's not true. You can live for God in a wicked day. Your kids can live for God. You know what He's just got through telling us in the book of Ephesians? He's given us all this, all these instructions, and we've been going through them, right? We started with the wives in chapter 5 to submit themselves to their husbands, right? That's what He said in chapter 5 and verse 22. Now, some wives, how are they going to do that? How are they going to have the strength to do that? Because they are married to a loser. I mean, we might as well be real about the thing. There are people that are in a lot of marriages that are very difficult. You understand? How is a Christian wife going to have the power to live for God if her husband's not living for God? How is that Christian wife going to have the power to do right if every day her husband's trying to do something opposite of what God wants him to do? Well, she can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. In other words, God can give that wife the power that she needs to be the Christian wife she needs to be. What about the next one? The next instruction was given to husbands. How are husbands going to love their wives like Christ loved the church? How in the world can we love our wives that deeply? We have not the power of our own to do it. You're not going to wake up every morning with chill bumps running down your spine saying, "Oh, I'm in love." That's a Disney movie, man. That's not life. But you can get up in the morning and say, "Hey, I want to love this lady through God. I want to have the power of God to love her and be what she needs me to be for her and what God wants me to be." Marriages can work, but there's got to be the power of God involved. Now, don't take this out of context. He's not talking about finding my brethren to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might to overcome your drug habit. Now, that's true. Or overcome some gross sin. That's true. Or overcome some addiction. That's true. But the context of everything He's been leading up to saying, be strong in the Lord, is just living the Christian life that you've been placed in to live. If you're a child, to obey your parents. In other words, God has enough power to let a young person live for God. I don't buy this lie that young people can't do something for God. I thank God for the young people we have. They can live for God. They can serve God. They can be what God wants them to be. They don't have to be a statistic. They don't have to be a casualty. But they will have to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. It won't be their parents' religion. It won't be the abstract church that just keeps them on the right path. They need power every day in their life to get up and live the Christian life, just like all of us do. He talked about those fathers and mothers. He talked about servants and he talked about masters. Whatever position we find ourselves in life, we've got to depend upon the Lord. And that's why so much is falling to ashes in the world, because people aren't depending upon God. You know, if you try to do things in your own strength, you're going to make a mess of it. You just, it doesn't matter who we are, it doesn't matter how smart we are, it doesn't matter how on top of things we are. In your might, in your power, one of these days you're going to find how powerless you are. And we, our instructions here from God is to depend upon Him. To depend upon Him, to live the life He wants us to live, to stand against the evil that He wants us to stand against, to be the Christian He wants to be. God has enough power for me to live the life that He wants me to live, even though I'm weak. What did the Apostle Paul say? He said, I found strength in my weakness, that the power of Christ. I'm weak, but I want the power of Christ to shine through me and work through my life. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Let me say this. We live in an age of the glorification of weakness. I want you to just follow me just a minute. We live in an age where all the sympathy and all the conversation is concerned fairness and victims and the disenfranchised. And I don't mean to trivialize pain or suffering in the world. But we live in an age that glorifies weakness instead of glorifying the strength of God. You know what the Bible doesn't say? The Bible doesn't go into how weak we are. He could do that. No, He emphasizes the strength of God. We live in a society that emphasizes the weaknesses of man. And so what happens is they take somebody that has a weakness, maybe educationally or emotionally or physically or whatever, and they'll glorify that weakness. And instead of trying to encourage strength, they'll begin to coddle and they begin to give sympathy. Now follow me now. And they'll lower the standards for the weak. And they will praise the weak if there are any achievements at all, even if those achievements are unacceptable. They will praise them, and then they will begin to demonize the powerful. I don't know if you've caught that in this age, the spirit of this age. It demonizes the powerful, and it glorifies the weak. And so it goes sort of like this in practical experience. We're not going to give anybody a failing grade, because that would be ugly. That would be mean. So we'll just lower the standard and we'll socially promote and we'll tell everybody they're doing a good job, even if they're not doing a good job. And we will disdain and hate those that are attaining something and those that are the powerful. You know, in society, I would hate. Probably if God said I couldn't preach anymore, the thing I would not want to be for love nor money would be a police officer. No disrespect, Brother Gary. I just wouldn't want to be that. Because the hatred. You know why? It's a symbol of power. And the world wants to glorify the weakness, not the powerful. And so they demonize the police. They demonize men. They demonize the rich. You know, God didn't do that. Abraham was rich. He didn't kick him to the curb and say what a terrible, awful person Abraham is. I just want you to think just a minute. When God's writing to us, He's telling us to be strong. He's not telling us to glorify our weakness. We know we're weak. But He's trying to get us not to look at ourselves, but look at the One that never is weak. That never faints. That has all the ability that I don't have. We have a world that doesn't appreciate God. We have a world that doesn't appreciate the privileged, I guess. You know, if they even teach classes now, you know, you ought to be ashamed if you grew up white because you're privileged. They have classes on that. Look, why would I apologize for being something God made me? I'm not a racist. There's no race that's above another race. Everything is level at the foot of the cross. But you don't. The world demonizes America because we're so blessed. And they glorify many times people that have no character. When the Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might," the purpose is for us to be stronger because you need strength to get through life. Let me tell you how the philosophies have changed. When I was growing up, and you know, when the little kids were growing up, I mean, you fell down, you skinned your knee or something, you know. Okay, just brush it off and go ahead, you know. And now it's like, oh. Stop the world, we have a boo-boo. And the crying, oh, that's okay. Don't teach that kid to cry. Don't teach that kid that it's a wonderful thing to cry. All children cry. I tell you what, one time, Dad didn't even remember this, I'm sure. Dad, he had a really good arm. They were going to draft him to the, Was it the Brooklyn Dodgers then? That shows how. Anyway, it was a long time ago when it was the Brooklyn Dodgers. Anyway, as a young boy, I got my mitt. You know, I'm gonna throw a ball with Dad. And so we start throwing the baseball. Oh my gracious! It wasn't okay, son. Catch. Pop. You all right, sir? Yes, sir. Throw it back. Here we go. Catch! And pretty soon I'm saying, Dad, I may have to go inside and, come on, son, let's throw the ball. Now, you may think none of that. You say, what does that matter? There's a generation that can't take anything. And I'm telling you what, this life is not a playground. It's difficult. It's rough. And God wants to teach us some strength in life so I can get through it. When we'd play football, man, you know what we learned to play? They said at Decatur High School, if you got hurt, you played hurt. You say, well, that's terrible. Well, it was a better world. We didn't go to the doctor to get drugs to try to get through life. Amen. Play hurt. And if you're hurt, you get up and you don't act like you're hurt. Toughen up. Now listen, you know what I really think God's trying to say in this chapter? You need to toughen up. You need to toughen up spiritually. You need to toughen up mentally. You need to toughen up for God. Because the devil plays for keeps, and he's not going to come down and say, oh, God bless your little boo-boo. He's going to chew you up and spit you out. And you're going to have to stand toe-to-toe and look him in the eyeballs and say, no. And I'm not going to quit, and I'm not going to give in. And I'm just going to play hurt. I'm going to live for God hurt. I'm going to get up and not show it and just go on if I'm hurting. I'll never forget when I got on the varsity there at Decatur High School and they put us in the bull ring. Man, that's crazy back then. And it just head to head, you know. I mean, more we didn't break our necks. But I mean, you know, when young kids, we ate dirt and we did all kinds of stuff. By the way, people need to toughen up physically too. Oh, I got a hangnail. I got to stay home from church. Oh, it's just really rough lately. What happened? Well, you know, my eyelash came out. I just... You'd be surprised how many people come to this church hurt. Hurt physically. Hurt spiritually. Going through the battle. And They're right in there. And then you got some weak Christian. They woke up on the side of the bed wrong, and they can't get to church. Little junior. Messed the diaper, messed up the room, and oh, well, I just don't know what we're going to do now. Can't go to church. It's just too much to handle. I'm telling you, we need to toughen up. Look, take probiotics, prebiotics, vitamins, Flintstones. You need to toughen up your body. You need to toughen up your mind. It is not a mark of spirituality to walk around hurt all the time. God wants you to be strong. Be strong in the Lord. And if you are hurt, well, I'll get back to my bullring story. Y'all got me off track there. Head to head, you know. And here I'm first year on the varsity. Here's a senior. Put me in and bang, I tell you what, I saw stars and little green men. I don't know how I stayed standing up. And I felt like my neck was on fire and I was dying. I didn't even know where I was. And I hit and I spun off. It was just an accident. That guy fell in the ground. He's a big old guy. And I go back and they said, yeah. And I'm going, yeah. And I'm standing over there. I hurt all the way down in my toenails. But there was something that was in us. Toughen up. You know what, Christian? You may not know what you're going to have to face until you leave this world. And I'm telling you. You got to toughen up. You got to play hurt. You've got to be strong. And we live in the age of weakness. You know what he said in 2 Timothy? Go over there in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. This is the verse I sign on people's Bibles when these young kids come up and ask for a signature. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And you can always tell the weak Christians, they're the ones that, you know, can't take anything, always get offended. Can't take the preaching, can't take life. Just trying to cope. Be a Christian. Be strong. You got a big God. You say, well, it's just so bad. Yeah, but you got a big God. Well, I just don't know how I can take it. Yeah, but God can take it. Jesus lives in you. All power is given unto Him. You can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. Let Him strengthen you. Don't grovel in your weakness. 2 Timothy 2, verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure it. Well, how are we going to endure hardness if we never go through anything? This world needs to see a Christianity that doesn't just work in the sunshine, but works in the shadows. Doesn't just work when everything's blossoming and going well, but when we're in the depth of the ditch and the bombs are going off and people are bleeding and dying, and we're going to stand because God can make me stand. When He says, endure hardness as a good soldier, Jesus Christ, you know what those soldiers have to go through? I wonder how many soldiers are in the battle and they go to their CO and they say, you got anything for a headache? Can I take a break? Can I have a timeout? You don't want an army like that. You want an army that can endure hardness. Now look, whether we like it or not, if you're saved, if you're born again by the grace of God, you are in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, there used to be songs that we used to sing in church all the time about that militant marching army, onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. A mighty fortress is our God. A bulwark. See all that strength? You know what this modern day Christianity sings about? Somebody showed me one just not long ago. From supposed to have been a good church. And I went, Oh, I didn't think Jesus loved me anymore. And I was just weak and nobody cared about me. And that, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear marching as to war, victory in Jesus, big God. Dare to be a Daniel. But you watch it. Most of the music for modern day Christianity is about how weak I am and how weak I feel. Instead of about how big God is. And about what He can do for me. And how He can strengthen me. Weak Christians have produced weak churches and dead churches that have no influence, that do not spread the gospel. Weak Christians cannot give. They got withered hands. They don't even know how to give. They don't know how to make an impact for the cause of Christ. And God says, I need you to be strong. You ever seen that? Have you ever had a death in the family? You've seen one family member that, I mean, they were just as broken as they could be. But they were that rock for the rest of the family. You ever saw that? They were hurting too. But they were that rock. Because somebody needed them to be strong. Church, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And we've got to learn to endure hardness. Mental hardness, emotional hardness, spiritual hardness. You say, what do I do? Just endure it. Do like I do when I go to the dentist. I just endure it. And my boy over there, he got it worse than me. He said, Dad, I'm not going to this. I said, you're going to the dentist. And I tell you what, I've had some experience in the dental chair overseas as missionaries. Drilling without the stuff in your mouth, you know. Is it going all right? Okay. Well, it's just a little bit farther. Okay. And I had some traumatic experience. Out of the chair. Oh, and so now as a preacher, you want to know what's wrong? I got PTSD, whatever it's called. I just can't cope. But you know what I do? I go to the dentist anyway. I just sit in that chair and go, I tell you what, man. I mean, if you follow me in the dentist chair, there are marks on that chair. And there's nothing going on wrong, but there's just... I can feel that pain every time I sit in those chairs. You just got to endure it. You know what you got to do to live for God? You just got to take it. And you know what? Isn't that what Jesus Christ did for us? And isn't it His mind? Isn't it His might through which we're living? Now look again, if you're trying to live a Christian life on your own, you can't do it. And if He could take all the spitting and all the shame and all the whipping and the crown of thorns and the nails and not say a word, He endured the cross, the Bible says. And whatever one He's asked you to bear for Him, you can endure it. Now I ask you to turn to 2 Samuel because there's something. Did I tell you to turn there? Yeah, 2 Samuel. When He said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, watch what happens in warfare, church. 2 Samuel chapter 20. To be strong in the Lord and the power of His might means maybe you have to play hurt. You've got to toughen up. It means you've got to endure hardness. It means you may have to keep marching on in spite of the casualties. You know, my appreciation for the American soldier is just way up there. It really is way up there. And not just because they're fighting for us, but, you know, I've talked to enough of them that had to fight in battle. When I sat down and talked with some of them, like Brother Coffey, and lost all his buddies there. And you know, I'd say, listen now, I'd say it'd be pretty hard to keep fighting when you looked and people that you loved and you fought with and your best friends with are laying there dead right beside of you. But you know what a soldier does? He's got to keep fighting. He's got to keep going. And here's a illustration of that in 2 Samuel chapter 20, if you'd look at it with me. Verse 10, the Bible said in 2 Samuel chapter 20, verse 10, "But Amasa took no heed to the sword that was in Joab's hand, so he smote him therewith in the fifth rib and shed out his bowels to the ground." Can you imagine the sight? "And struck him not again, and he died. So Joab and Abishai his brother pursued after Sheba the son of Bichri," and watch this, verse 11, "and one of Joab's men stood by him and said, 'He that faith for Joab and he that is for David, let him go after Joab.'" In other words, let's go! We got a battle to fight! But here's a guy that's dying on the side of the road. Look at verse 12. "And Amasa wallowed in blood in the midst of the highway." Now watch, watch. "And when the man saw that all the people stood still, he removed Amasa out of the highway into the field and cast a cloth upon him. When he saw that everyone that came by him stood still, when he was removed out of the highway, all the people went on after Joab to pursue after Sheba the son of Bichri." Do you know what you just read? All these people are supposed to be engaged in fighting for David, fighting the fight for the Lord, and go destroy the rebels. They're on this way, and yet here's a casualty. He's a casualty, and the circumstances are gruesome, and the circumstances aren't right, but nevertheless, he's a casualty. And Amasa's wallowing in the blood right in the middle of the highway, and all the soldiers that are supposed to be going on and fighting for their Lord see that awful sight, and they revered Amasa. They know how great this man was, and they watch this terrible scene, and they're not moving. They're not going any farther because of this terrible sight of this casualty. And the man standing by understands that, you know, this is a hard thing for this army to take. But I'm going to move this body over and I'm going to put a cloth over the body. You know, that's what they still do with bodies, isn't it? Put something over that body. Why? So we can keep moving. You say, "Preacher, that's awful cold." No, no, that's life. You know how many times in a Christian life there's been a body there? It may have been death. It may have been a casualty spiritually. And here's the castaway. And here's the issue. And here's the scene. And I've got a choice. I can stay here and watch this scene of this one comrade, this one brother, this one family member, this person that I love, and I can just look at the wallowing of the blood. Or I can endure hardness as a good soldier and keep fighting. That doesn't mean I don't love the casual. That doesn't mean my heart doesn't go out. But the truth is, I can do nothing for the casualty. His life's over. And if everybody stops, the battle will be lost. I think that's a good lesson in life, church. We hate the casualties. We grieve for the casualties. Our heart's burdened about the casualties. But you know what we can't do? As good soldiers of Jesus Christ, we can't stop following. We can't stop living. We can't stop serving. We've just got to toughen up and go forward for Christ and be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Would you go back to our text? You don't have to be weak. You don't have to have a weak Christianity. Your family doesn't have to have a weak Christianity. You can be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. But the Bible says if this is going to happen, Ephesians 6:10 said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might." And then verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You got to put something on. He said in verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. In other words, like this, here's the powerful God. Here's all His armory. Here's all of His armor. All the stuff you need to get through the battle. But you've got to go over and take it and put it on. You've got to put on the power of God to get through life. You know what armor does? I'm not going to go through all this tonight. We'll take them one at a time. That armor, it totally covers you. You know what it covers up? It covers the weak parts of you. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said our flesh is weak. But you know what? If I got something covering that flesh, if I've got something of God covering that flesh, then that strength comes from that armor. It doesn't come from my flesh. He says, put on the things of God. Put on the things of the Spirit of God. It'll cover up your weak points. Every one of us have weak points. Why don't we go to God and let Him cover it up? Instead of saying, well, you know, that's just the way I am. We'll get you a piece of armor. There's a part for your head. There's a part for your heart. There's a part for your loins. There's a part. I mean, there's parts everywhere to cover up the weak spots. But you got to be willing to put it on. That Bible says, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill it in the lust thereof. How foolish would it be to go into battle without any equipment? I don't know if they do it now. Brother Stark probably could tell us. I can't see how a police officer can even go out in the field without body armor on, without some type of bulletproof vest. It's crazy people out there. Now listen, how are we going to go through the Christian life without the help of God? Without appropriating the things of God to help me be the mother and the father and the wife and the husband and the Christian and the young person that I'm supposed to be? You need to put it on. He says, why? Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. God wants you to stand. He said that three times in this text. He said in verse 11, that ye may be able to stand. In verse number 13, wherefore take ye the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand the evil day. And having done all to stand, verse 14, stand therefore. God wants us to stand. To stand up. Stand up and be counted. Don't cower. Don't shrink. Don't fall. Stand up. Amen. You know, in chapter 4 of this epistle, you know what he warned them? He said in verse 27, neither give place to the devil. In other words, don't give a place for the devil to fill the hole where you're supposed to be standing. You know, in warfare, many years ago, it's not like that today. But even our Revolutionary War, you know what they did? They stood up all the soldiers. It was crazy. It was like, I'm a man, and you got the bullet, and I'm standing right in front of you. That's the way we fought the Revolutionary War, for most part. And the British regulars would stand up with their muskets, and the Americans, can you imagine? You're looking at the bullets that are going to come right in your face. You know what those guys did? They stood there. Yeah. Yes, sir. Whew. You talk about some courage. You know, you wouldn't be free today if they hadn't been willing to stand there. Yep. And a lot of them going to fall. A lot of them going to die. But they stood there. Ready? Arms! You know, we got a choice in the Christian life. You can stand for God and stand up against the wiles of the devil. Or you can turn around and run. Or you can fall on the ground. But God is able to make you stand. How can somebody stand in front of a bullet? How could Jesus go to the cross and take your sin and His own body on the tree? Because He had the courage to do it. I don't hear a lot of preaching on that. Stand. No, our society is, oh, just get along. Just compromise, do whatever you need to do. And the Lord says, I want you to get right in front of the devil. I want you to stand right in front of him. And I don't want you to give place to him. You know what happened in those crossfires? I mean, there was a fear and intimidation. And if somebody gives way, what's going to happen? A lot of people are going to give way. And there's a real devil. That text that we're looking at talks about the devil. It talks about the fiery darts of the wicked. It talks about spiritual wickedness in high places. We're talking about the dominion of the devil. And God Almighty says, I want you to stand. Look, it's much greater enemy than standing in front of flesh and blood. We're not talking about standing up to people. And most people can't stand up to their own children. Most people can't stand up to anybody. But God didn't say to stand up against people. He said, I want you to stand square toe-to-toe with the devil. And the next verse, we're not going to get into it tonight, he said, you're going to get in a wrestling match with the devil. Man, the devil. The devil's so much more powerful than people. Then look, if we can't deal with people, how are we going to deal with the devil? When the devil stands on your doorstep, what are you going to do? I tell you what God says do, stand right in front of him. And miracle of miracles. If it wasn't in the Bible, I wouldn't believe it. The book of James chapter 4 tells me if I'll resist the devil, he'll flee from me. That is a Bible verse. If that's not true, there's nothing in the Bible that's true. No! Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail against God's church. You can stand against the devil. Paul didn't wring his hands and say, you know what, I'm going to may meet a devil-possessed person tomorrow. He met them all the time. Some of them got on his nerves so bad he turned around and cast them out. Shut up! That's the way he was with them. Paul wouldn't say, oh no, we're going to meet the devil today. He met the devil every day. You know what? The devil comes to your house. The devil's coming for your kids. The devil's coming for your marriage. He's coming for your mind. He's coming for your heart. And if you don't learn to stand up to the devil and say no, and sometimes standing up to the devil and saying no is turning off a device or not talking to somebody or not going along with the story. We're not going to this place or that place. No! I'm going to stand for God. And the weak will not stand. But God says, I can give you the strength to stand. God is able to make him stand. Romans 14:4. The Bible says, stand fast in the faith. 1 Corinthians 16:13. 2 Thessalonians 2:15 says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. You can stand in the evil day. And if you can't do anything else, just stand there. Say, I'm not moving. I'm not moving what I believe. I'm not moving who I love. I'm just going to stand right here. And I'm going to occupy my space for Christ. Wherefore, he says, take unto the whole arm, unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. One more thing, I'm finished. He said in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What are wiles? A little word. What does it mean? Well, the old 1828 dictionary says this. Good to learn a new word. Wiles are inventions and designs, listen, of a genius to trick somebody. Trick. We're about to that time of year, aren't we? Trick. You know the devil wants to trick you? He has wiles. He has inventions. He has all types of ways to trick God's people. And the Bible says you better be strong in the Lord. You better get all that armor of God. Or when the wiles of the devil come to trick you, he's a genius. He knows humanity. He knows your weaknesses. You better be strong in the Lord or you'll be no match. You better have this armor on or you're going to be no match. And the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, we are not ignorant of his devices. You know what one of his devices are in that chapter? an unforgiving spirit. You know what the devil sometimes, his wiles are? His wiles just get you mad at another Christian. You know who you ought to be mad at? You ought to be mad at him. You ought to be mad at the devil. Get mad at somebody for some... Get mad at the people that sell dope on the street. But know the devil. You know what? He'll say, you know, this one over here, they go to church and, you know, they said this, that, and the other. Or this person wronged you. And God says, you know, we need to be a forgiving people. We need to love the Lord. Because one of the wiles of the devil, one of the devices of the devil, is to get people bitter at each other. His inventions, his designs. Wiles is only mentioned one other time in the Bible. That's all the way back in Numbers 25:18. I won't read it. But the wiles of the Midianites, what they tried to do is those ungodly people, those heathen people, came in and mixed with the children of Israel and started destroying their culture. The devil has destroyed Christian culture and destroyed American culture, destroyed Southern culture, destroyed decent culture, destroyed moral culture by mixing in the heathen with the people of God. That's the wiles of the devil. Don't ever be embarrassed that you are different from this world. Because one of the wiles of the devil is to get you to go along with everything in this world. And God says, you get you some strength, you get you some power, and you stand. I find it interesting, I'm finished. When God talks about the devil, and God talks about the fiery darts of the wicked, and when God talks about spiritual wickedness in high places, you know what He doesn't say? He doesn't say, I'm going to take all the wicked away from you. He doesn't say, I'll make sure that the devil is never in your presence. He never says that. Because church is long. Look, we're saved by the grace of God and we're in this world. And this world's always going to be filled with wicked people. It's always going to be filled with spiritual wickedness. The devil's always going to be active. And God didn't say, I'm going to take the devil away from you. But that same devil that's on the path to destroy you and destroy your family, I'm not going to take away their presence, but I'm going to give you power to overcome it. I'm going to give you power in your life to have victory. You know, when Jesus was walking around, they said, you're the Son of God. The devils. When Jesus said, you know, get out of here. They said, well, can we please go into the pigs? Okay, go ahead. Jesus had full power of the devils. And God wants to give us victory. Now, you know what, church? We need to toughen up. We're not threatened with being taken to jail for our faith. We're just threatened with a little bit of mockery maybe and a little humiliation here and there. Maybe being by ourselves. But maybe we have to pass that ugly scene sometimes and say, you know, I gotta keep going for the Lord. I don't know about you, but I sure need God's strength. May we be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might.